All right. Thank you, young folks. I hope that's your testimony. That's a great truth. The further you go down life's road, the more you look back and see how good God has been to you. And that's a good message and song. We read our prayer list just about every service. Can't always read all of it. Sometimes it's a little bit too long to take all the time, so we divide it up. But here for the last 5-6 weeks, we've been calling Brother Terry Donahue's name on our prayer list because he's been 6 weeks over there on the mission field and with the Offerings Homes. And I pray for him a lot because after all my birthdays, I just can't hardly handle a trip like that. And I wonder how he keeps doing it. He's eating something a little different. I know he eats different over there, and I'm not going to ask what. But we're glad to have him back. He got back safely. And Landmark is kind of spread out around the world. We've got things going on in a lot of places and some real good things happening there on the mission field. And I've asked Brother Terry to come and kind of tell us a little bit about things over there and his trip and how God blessed him to get him back here with us. You're not showing a picture tonight, are you? You are. All right, I'll just trade seats with you then. You come on up. And so good to have him, and so glad God brought him back. Amen? Amen.
Magic.
I haven't seen this either, so I'm going to watch it.
Thank you.
I don't even know if I can talk after that. Every one of those kids are precious. That's our ministry, folks. These are the kids, the children who love the Lord, and I am blessed. Preacher says, how do I do it? That's how I do it. I know they're there and they're waiting to for me to come, and they Kim and Yanut call me Grandpa. That's what the kids do. You know, I don't have 42 grandchildren only. I have hundreds of them, and I'm blessed. Malachi chapter 3. Let me just give you a couple of verses here. It says, "And they that feared the Lord and spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day, and the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then you shall return and discern between righteousness and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Father, we come to you and we thank you for all you do. We thank you for miracle after miracle, and every one of those children are a miracle. We thank you, Lord, that the heartaches and problems that they have behind them is not in front of them any further. We ask you, Lord God, to bless this church that gives so willingly for us to be able to do what we do. And I thank you, Lord, for every one of them. I thank you for the people that give to Faith Promise and the people that sacrifice to make those numbers rise, not just for numbers, but for souls. And Lord God, I just pray that you'll bless this next few minutes as I share my heart with the people. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a brief, when I left here, I had a full schedule. I arrived in Burma a couple of days after I left here, and it was an exciting time. I got to visit folks, and some of these young guys from Burma know the people I've been with. And he says, "Hey, do you know this guy? It's my picture with the guy that I was just with, you know?" And it's exciting to see, even though the world looks big and even though it takes 28 hours to get here, the world is small. And there's people all over the world that know this church. They watch the services on in the late at night because of night and day difference. They listen to the radio station all the time. I ride in the cars with the people, and they have WLVF on through their telephones and the internet. And the effect that this church has, I would love to be Brother Carter going to heaven and seeing all the people that have been affected by all his years here at this ministry. And, you know, but it's unbelievable. You know, the children you saw here, this is landmark. The kids that you saw, they are landmark. If you notice the signs in the back, half of the churches are named landmark. Our Bible schools are named Landmark, and just on and on, and we're using the curriculum from here over there. And sometimes we have to adjust somebody's words and all to explain what they really mean, you know, because they are different, you know. Brother Bradley, man, we really have to work on his, you know. No, I'm joking. He's about the easiest one. But the fact is, if they can understand me, they can understand anybody, you know. So just a quick statement. I got in an elevator in a hotel, and this man said, I said to him, "Good morning." And he says, "You speak English?" I said, "Yep. My mother taught me when I was a baby." I was joking, you know. And he said, "Where on earth are you from?" I said, "The Bronx." And the man said, "I am too." And the two of us got to talking Bronx talk, you know, I was going down to have breakfast, and I sat down with the guy and talked with him, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm here working for Jesus." And he said, You are? And I said, yes, sir. Anyway, I went through the plan of salvation, and this Jewish man came all the way 10,000 miles to Cambodia to sit in a hotel and meet me in the elevator and sit down and have breakfast with me to get saved. Unbelievable, just unbelievable. And then the next day, a guy comes walking in the breakfast place there and the restaurant and the hotel, and he's wearing a New York Yankees hat. He's wearing a New York Yankees shirt. He had New York Yankees sneakers, you know. And I said, where are you from? He says, where else? But he was from Cambodia, went to New York and became a Yankee fan. But it's just amazing. We're everywhere. And you know, when they say the Yankee universe, they mean it, you know. But anyway, so I got to Burma, and Saturday morning I was at the Ashira Orphanage. Sunday morning we had two services at Friends Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Church. On Monday I went to Calameo, and I'll explain a little bit about that a little bit later. In Calameo, we worked with the first orphanage we ever started. Was back in 2000. Remember Brother Carter said that we're gonna get this orphanage going, and we had no idea what was in front of us. But we worked at it, and we got that orphanage started, and there was a young girl born there at the orphanage. She's 19 years old now, and she's coming to Landmark in January. Let me share you one more thing about this girl. I put a note on Facebook. I told her, I said, I don't have the money. I don't have this $3,000 you got to have in order to get that visa. I don't have it. I said, but you know, God does. And so I put a little note on Facebook with her picture. And I said that this girl needs help. And somebody put in $5. And then I got an email from people. And they said, we'd like to help this little girl. And they sent the $3,000. Amazing. It's just amazing how God provides and God supplies. And if we would have had another few weeks, she would have been here right now. But we didn't have enough time for her to get, she didn't have the passport. She had to get a passport and all the paperwork and everything else. But it was just, Kelly said, forget it. You're never going to make the deadline. So we waited. But we have three other girls coming from Cambodia. So they're taking over. Watch it now. Used to be Bahamians, now it's going to be the Asians, you know. but anyway, she's out of our ministry in Burma, and I'm excited and happy for her. Her name is Dainu. Dainu. It's not spelt that way, but that's what it sounds like. And then I left Calameo on Wednesday. And went to the New Life Orphanage on Thursday, and then went to inspect the building. We raised money in our bike-a-thon to build an orphanage and building there. And the building is up out of the ground. The roof is on. There's mainly cosmetic works to be done. But the fact is, this is an orphanage that has been in a little wooden building for a long time. Now they're going to have a beautiful, solid rock building or brick building, whatever they call it over there. But it's just amazing what we were happy little tin buildings to begin with, and now we're building beautiful buildings and are going to last and a testimony to the Lord. And we make sure that every building, don't just put up a building, put a cross in the bricks so it can never be questioned that that's God's place. And we do that in most of our buildings. I went through all the other places. I taught at Landmark Baptist College in Yangon, and also at the People's Baptist Church, another one of our ministries there at the orphanage. But God had blessed them. When it then finally got into Cambodia, now we're talking the last day of July going into August, I had a meeting with the pastors and their wives, trying to tell them what we need. How do we dress? How do we present the gospel? How do we have an attitude? What's our attitude with the people around us? They're watching us. And we have to do this right. We have to have a testimony. Your testimony is every single minute of the day is your testimony. You ruin it and your church could die. And so I spent a lot of time with them, and they hear it from me over and over again, but it just seemed to be such a sweet meeting that we had this time. And we went through to our center. I had to go out and inspect the center because we formed an association for the HIV children and parents. And we formed this association, and the government wants me to be there to make sure that the money's being spent right, that the children are being provided for, that their medication is taken care of, that they're getting an education, that the parents are learning to do work. And these are all of the things that that's my part in it. I raise the money, and I go around like the beggar, begging here, there, and everywhere to get the funds that they need, and it works well. We've been blessed, and I'm honored to be able to do that. Also, I taught for 2 days at Liberty Baptist College Phnom Penh, and it's just such a tremendous thing to see kids that have a heart for the Lord. I mean, a heart for the Lord. They'll sleep on the floors, on mats, and some of that's the way they are at home. But the fact is that they are willing to sacrifice just so they can preach the gospel. And there's very few that leave our Bible schools and then go off to another school to become an engineer, a doctor, a plumber, or whatever else. But they stay and they want to serve God. And to me, that's the greatest blessing of all. And so I spent many hours, two six-hour nights teaching at the, and it's nonstop in that one. The others, I was 10 hours in training our pastors. 10 hours, I had to stop every hour, drink about a gallon of water, and then go back to it again. And it's about 105 degrees inside the church. There is no air conditioning. The fans are blowing hot air around. It's probably even worse than if we just left the window open. But every time it rained, they had to close the door because the rain was blowing in the door, and it became like a sauna inside the church. But we were blessed, and I took a day of rest because there was some problems that I'll share you in just a minute. I preached at Bethany Baptist Church. I preached at Harvesters Baptist Church, and then the hours I was teaching. But the thing is that back when I first got there, I mean, I was chomping at the bit to go. I wanted to get things done, and I had a vision of souls being saved, and I prayed for God to give us the souls that we wanted to see saved. I mean, we want to see everybody saved, but I had a goal in mind, and sometimes my goals are impossible, but at least Dr. Lee Robinson used to say, the man that aims at nothing hits it every time. So you got to have a goal in life. You got to challenge yourself to go and do what you need to do. So anyway, I set a goal, and we had 111 souls saved on this trip. That's 111 people going to heaven. I mean, I'm talking about kids now, because there was a parcel more of kids, but we instigated soul winning. Door-to-door soul winning, which is something that is just not done. And we, in Cambodia, we went to little tin buildings that people were living in, Muslims, and they were welcoming us to come and talk to them. These people live, they live on their boats, or they live in these little tin shacks. And they were just open to listen to us. And half the time I couldn't communicate, but I had Kim's sister, out there, and she's a little sweetheart. We got to get her into the college. And she was over there, and I'd say something, and then it would go back and forth. And one lady said, "I don't want this. Give me money." I was giving her tracts, and Kim's sister said, "Hold it now. hold it now. And she called this man over that was with me, and I said, you tell her that that paper is worth more than a dollar. I said, if I gave her a dollar, she'd spend it and it'd be gone. This paper could give her eternal life. He told her that, and she put her head down, apologized, and then he went and led her to the Lord. You know, so it's a blessing. And then Yanut's sister, she works with the church. She graduated from our Bible Institute there at Landmark. We're praying that she might come here too, you know. But it's exciting to know that we have a part here in what goes on over there. I got to Kalamio. I'm going backtracking now. I got there and I was elated because I hadn't been in Kalamio in a long time. Kalamio's up in the boonies, so to speak. It's close to the Chin Mountains, the Chin State area. And one of these fellas come from Kalamio here that they just come in. Okay. Hey, if these guys fall asleep, don't blame them. They've been 25 hours in an airport to get here, you know. And I feel for you, brother. You know, his eyes are small enough as it is, and now they're getting even smaller. So I got there, and I went to a hotel that was never there before. They built hotels all over the place. And I went in, and I was tired. But the plane goes up there every couple of days. You go up, and then you come back a couple of days later. And it's not just like here, where you get on a plane, you go there, you come back that afternoon if you want. Here, you go there, you're there. Or you drive down, that takes a couple of days of driving on roads that you wouldn't believe. You think the construction out here is something? That's their road, that's their highway. So anyway, that night, my phone was on airplane mode. Airplane mode means the phone doesn't ring, right? Anybody that has an Apple knows, or whatever. Well, at 11:30, my phone rang. And I said, what does Randy Smith want now? I'm thinking, but I knew it was that late he wouldn't be calling. But anyway, I went to get the phone, and it was a Haines City number and a Haines City area. And I looked at it, I didn't know the number, and I went to put the phone down. But when I went to lift the phone, it felt like it weighed about 10 pounds. I said, man, what's the matter? You know, my arms were tightening up. And I put my hand on the bed to sit up, and the bed was full of blood. I mean, blood. Lots of blood. I didn't know what was going on. I had no pain. I felt great, except for I couldn't move. I just about crawled to get the light on, and I turned my phone off, I shut off the airplane mode, and I called the missionary and I said, I'm in trouble, I need help. I don't know what's going on. You see, I take blood thinners. And when you take blood thinners and you get cut, it's like water, your blood. Well, I was very weak, I couldn't stand. They had to take me under my arms, and I'm twice as big as both of them together, you know? And they got me into the elevator, down and out into the van, and I fell down in the back seat, and they rushed me to the hospital. You know what a hospital is in Kalamio, what it is anyway. It was sort of like a MASH program, you know, the hospital itself. It's a bed with curtains around it, you know, that kind of a thing. And I told them, I said, I'm in trouble. And what had happened was that I had a tear in my colon, and I didn't know it. And there was no pain. And there was no way to stop the bleeding because the blood thinners were working, doing their job. Well, the doctor gave me a shot in this arm and a shot in this arm. He gave me a pile of medicine to take. And he said, you got a problem. I said, of course, that's why I'm here. And anyway, I went the next morning. I was at the specialist house because that's where he takes care. The doctor has his, it's like the old doctors where the doctor works out of his house. And I got there, and he was from Edinburgh. He got his education in Edinburgh. So I was able to communicate with him, and he says, yeah. He says, we got to do something about this. And I'm looking at him, what are we going to do? I can't even leave. I didn't want to call my wife because I didn't know what was going on. But understand something. If that phone did not ring, I would be in a funeral right now, my own. There was no stopping the bleeding. And I didn't feel it. And as tired as I was from the traveling, I would have been dead if that phone hadn't rung. I went up to Walgreens, because they're the ones that I found out later, that they were the ones calling me, telling me that my prescription is ready, right? So, and you know, I used to get upset with all these phone calls, but I love them now, I realize. So, I told the man up there, I said, listen, you might not have ever had this happen to you, but your phone call saved my life. And he said, what do you mean? And I told him a little bit of the story, and I said, you rang, it was somewhere around 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon here, but it was late at night there. And your phone call woke me up and saved my life. And he says, well, I've never heard something like that before. I said, well, now you have, you know. But this is a miracle, folks. That phone never should have rung. You know, my life's verse is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's my life's verse. And I believe it might have been Walgreens that made the call, but it was directly from God. He woke me up, and it took 2 days for me to be able to lift my arms. I had lost so much blood. Then the doctor said, you need a transfusion. I said, no, not here. No way. And I said, I'd rather die than get AIDS or HIV or any other disease that you may have running through this country. I said, you don't have the protections that we do in the U.S. I'm not taking no blood. I said, I'm trusting God. And he says, well, if you're not going to take the blood, I think he thought I was Jehovah's Witness. I don't know. But he said, if you're not going to take the blood, then you need to drink as much liquid as you can. He said, and not alcohol. I said, don't worry about that, you know. So he said, drink orange juice. And I drank a gallon. He said, drink by the gallon, not by the glass. I drank a gallon of orange juice, a gallon of water, a gallon of tomato juice, a gallon of pineapple juice. This is the truth. I mean, I was drinking as much as I could. If I was a drunk boy, I would have been drunk, you know, all the drinking. But the thing is that God took care of me, and God replenished that blood. So my wife thinks I'm crazy now. There's all kind of weird things. You know, my memory wasn't what it should be, but I think by the time a few more days, I'll be back to normal again. But God allowed me to even stand up and teach for 10 hours after it. And it's just a miracle. It's just a miracle. But I wanted to share that with you that, you know, people have been coming up to me and they didn't know what happened. And they're saying, I was praying for you. I was praying for you. And who knows whose prayer God said, well, I better take care of that. You know, when I would turn on the television or my telephone, and I could see the services starting here while I'm just getting ready to go to sleep. Sometimes I had to wake up to see it. And I remember Brother Perkins saying, hey, we got to pray for Brother Donahue. He's over there in Asia now. And I said, bless God. Keep on praying. And you know, the Bible says effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we need to be praying for each other. And I've turned over a whole new leaf when it comes to the prayer list. We got to be serious about it. You know, there's a name on there. There's somebody hurting. There's somebody in crisis. And they're depending on us to pray for them. And then my kids say, why didn't you call us and tell us? I said, well, I was hoping you were praying for me anyway. You know, and the truth, what could I say? If I called Linda and said, I'm in trouble, I've lost good half of my blood, she couldn't get there. All it would do is give her a heart attack. There was no sense in calling and saying anything. I knew people were praying. And I thank you for praying. I thank you for allowing me to represent you in these other countries. It's a privilege and an honor to do it. And I'm blessed. I am blessed. Preacher. So.
Well, amen. Y'all remember praying for Brother Terry while he was gone? We called his name quite often. I agree with him. God made that phone call. I really do. And that's a tremendous testimony. Tremendous testimony. He was over there doing God's work. God took care of him in a place where things we have around here we take for granted he didn't have. That's tremendous, tremendous testimony. It's a blessing to see what God has allowed our church to have a part in. Way on the other side of the world, under conditions that sometime around here we might think it's a little tough because our bus don't have air conditioning or something else, but compared to what they work with to serve God over there, we ought to be ashamed sometime when we gripe at all about anything. And we are having some of those kids grow up, some of them in our college now, come over. And see, our college is over there also. He was teaching those hours he's talking about in Landmark Baptist College over there, as well as what we got going on here. And through the technology, which the devil uses a lot, but God's using it also, and through that, even our services here and much of what goes on here, they're able to get over there. Pull it out of the air. Isn't that a miracle? Yes. Just pull it out of the air and see it. And to hear us praying for you over there, Terry. I know that was a blessing. Well, let's stand. This has been good tonight. Just Wednesday night, sometimes a little bit of a home night here for the church family, but it's just a real blessing to see what God did. And we're glad he's home safe. And we're looking forward now as the college gets started, and we got maybe some others coming on in also. But when you pray, it's not, as he said a while ago, not just words. It ought to be very real. Anybody's name on that prayer list, as Brother Donahue just said, it wouldn't be on there if they didn't have a need, if they were not hurting. And you hear me say this all the time. Pray for folks like your name was on there, because it may be next week. It may be, amen. Well, Father, we thank you for speaking our hearts tonight. Thank you for bringing Brother Donahue home safely. We pray for the works and the ministries and the young people and the teachers and the preachers and the workers over there. We pray for them, supply their needs, protect them. We thank you, Father, for the miracle of the phone call at the right time to wake Brother Donahue up. And we thank you that you preserved him and brought him home. May you bless now, Father. We've got the school going, one of our ministries. Now the college as it starts. All the things here. Help us, Lord, to see that it's important what's going on and for the cause that we're involved in. Bless the choir now, Father, as they practice tonight. Give us a good Sunday. And for you, we pray for souls to be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.